Well, it's extremely rare in this country for an Australian intelligence agency to share some of its secrets. And it's absolutely unprecedented for someone who works for one of those agencies to speak publicly about what they do. But this morning, a woman who's been at the heart of some of Australia's recent cyber offensive work is out of the shadows and here as our guest on RM Breakfast. We can't use her real name for obvious reasons, so we'll call her Claire this morning. But what we can tell you is that Claire is a covert online operator. That's a title that was secret up until last week. She works with the Australian Signals Directorate. The ASD is the government agency responsible for foreign signals intelligence, support to military operations, cyber warfare and information security. Claire's boss is the director of the ASD, Mike Burgess, and he's allowing her to speak with the media because he's keen to shatter some stereotypes.
There are images in the movies of the male hacker wearing dark clothing, working in dim lighting, tapping feverishly on the keyboard, doing really clever, crazy things. I can assure you that stereotype is nothing like it in the real world. Some of our best covert online operators are all women.
That's Mike Burgess, the director of the Australian Signals Directorate, speaking last week. Well, one of those women is Claire. Claire, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you, Claire. You're called a covert online operator, so this is a big step for you to speak openly. How would you describe what you do, Claire?
As you mentioned, I'm a covert online operator. I think that for me, the major part of my role is actually more of a coordination role. So I spend time on keyboard talking to terrorists, pretending to be a terrorist, but I also spend a lot of my time analysing that information, planning for future operations, talking to our customers and talking to our partners. And I think that while I might be on keyboard some of the time, looking at operational aims and completing operational aims, I'm really an enabler for our customers and for broader defence.
Sure, but just that line there, I spend a lot of my time, sure, online talking to terrorists. You're a science graduate. How did you go from science to this shadowy world of talking to terrorists?
I think I just completely fell into it, to be honest with you, Fran. But once I came into ASD, they gave me some really cool training. They gave me some really cool briefs on what we do and what our overall aims are when we're talking to terrorists. But we have a super strict training regime, and we have accreditation for our operators before they actually let us on keyboard.
I say shadowy world half in jest, Claire, but it can be a very dark world you're inhabiting. How does that match with the real you, who you are?
It is very different from what I am. I'm in my early 30s. I grew up in a Catholic kind of household, a big family, I spend my weekends, getting outside, doing as much as I can actively, and I think the ideologies that I pretend to be online are just so different. The age, the sex, the personas that I am online are really, really different to my own person. But I have a team of people supporting me from a cultural perspective, from a behavioural perspective, from time zones, from where I look like I'm coming from. All of that is really well supported.
Okay, let's come to some of that now, because your boss, the director of the Australian Signals Directorate, Mike Burgess, has revealed a little of your recent work. When he was giving an address to the Lowy Institute last week, he said you impersonated a terrorist online in order to trick an Australian jihadist who was overseas.
This individual did extraordinary work to gain the trust of this terrorist online, to convince him to give up the cause and move off to another country where he could be no longer a danger to himself or actually a danger to others. And in this case, you have an individual who was seeking to join a terrorist group in the Middle East. We, this operator, convinced him to leave that country and go somewhere else and not take up the cause.
That's Mike Burgess, the director of the Australian Signals Directorate. So that was your work, Claire,
yeah,
he's talking
absolutely
about.
That is, yeah, that was me online. So I was posing as a senior terrorist in an organisation there.
Were you posing as an ISIS terrorist? Is that what you're doing?
As a Taliban member, actually, for that one.
Uh-huh. And in that posing, how did you do that? How did you believably sort of get in the mind of a senior terrorist, as you say, who's presumably a different gender, certainly a different religion. You've already told us you grew up in a Catholic household, culturally different, and certainly ideologically. How did you do that?
I think that when you're becoming a person, what you have to remember is at the core, people are the same. Everyone has beliefs, everyone has aspirations, everyone has dreams, everyone's motivated by something. We all want things, we all want big things, we all want little things, and becoming someone else is about understanding what those core of those different things are. But also, friend, you can't forget that it's part of a team. We do a lot of training. I'm working with a whole lot of cultural experts, a whole lot of language experts. I mean, they're helping me getting all the Islamic greetings right, all of that kind of stuff. They're really helping me in that kind of space.
Mm-hmm. So how much work, how much research do you do then before you go online? How much do you have to learn in terms of the Islamic greetings, getting your English right so it sounds like you're not English, all of those things?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm comparing what people are saying already online, how they're talking to each other, particularly the target, how the target is expecting to be spoken to, what he responds to, how I could convince him to do something or not do something. So it's really focused on the actual specific target and the types of language that they're seeing and that they're using themselves.
And I don't know how much you can tell us, but in this case, this was an Australian wannabe terrorist, Australian who was on the way somewhere to join the jihadists. How did you know what he was going to respond to? What did he respond to?
So you can never know exactly how someone's going to respond. There's a little bit of chance in there, but with our behavioural specialists, we were looking at what kind of language he responded to. So in this particular case, he responded to males and he responded to seniority and power and someone who actually was directly telling him to do something. So we found it was a little bit of test and error in there. So we found that if we wrote really lengthy things, he didn't really respond very well to that. But when we were much more direct, he actually was quite responsive.
Okay, you're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 13 past 8. Our guest is Claire. That's what we're calling her. Claire is a covert online operator for the Australian Signals Directorate. Never before has anyone with that job title given an interview like this, explaining what they do, how she works. It's a high-stake game, Claire. I mean, everything you say could tip somebody off. Did you, in this instance, did you make some wrong steps? Did you have to backtrack? Did it nearly go off the rails?
I think almost every operation has something that doesn't go 100% to plan. So in this one of the key things was trying to get this target to drop his other communication methods because we didn't want the Taliban being able to contact him directly. In this case, it took us a few weeks to actually get him to understand that he needed to get rid of his other methods that he was contacting the Taliban on. So his phone, his email address, we needed him to get rid of those ones and not use them anymore.
And what were the stakes? What did you believe the stakes were in this? What was driving you to try and head off, if you like, this wannabe jihadist?
Yeah, we thought that there were two options of what could happen. So we thought that he was going to try and join the Taliban. He was going to meet them. They'd think, oh my God, this guy is he's not a real Taliban, he's a spy, and then kill him straight away. But we thought that potentially if he was actually successful in that, he would become more radicalized, he would get more skills, and he would be able to actually conduct an attack somewhere that against Westerners, against civilians.
When you're doing this, it's given the time differences, I imagine you're doing this in the dead of night often? In this case, was it in the night time?
Often, yeah. So we operate at all kinds of times during the day and night, whenever we need to operate to look the most legitimate that
right.
we can.
So you would have to put yourself completely in a zone. It would be like, you know, I mean, not like this at all, but someone playing a video game completely zoned in to that terminal, that keyboard, that identity.
Yeah, absolutely. We've all got different tricks to help us get into the zone.
How do you do it?
Well, it depends on what we're pretending to do, but we've all got different tricks. So some people might wear a certain thing, some people might have music playing in the background, some people will spend a fair bit of time beforehand planning, just testing each other on who we are, what we're doing, why we're doing it, and just making sure that we're actually in the zone before we jump online.
Do you do things like wear something to get you in the zone?
I don't normally wear something, but definitely some of my colleagues do.
It's your job by very nature is very secretive. What is that like, operating in the shadows like that? Presumably your friends and family don't know what you do?
They've always known that I work for the Department of Defence. That story of what I do at the Department of Defence has definitely evolved. I mean, it went from being the Department of Defence to actually being the Defence Signals Directorate and now Australian Signals Directorate. They know bits and pieces about what I do, and thanks to Mike and what I think is really important, that we are actually opening up so much more about what we do in an unprecedented kind of way. I actually shared some of the articles that came out last week with my family. I kind of just mic dropped them onto our family chat and came back a few hours later to my mum having cut and pasted it, going, oh, this sounds a lot like you.
Okay. The ASD is openly recruiting, and it's part of the reason why you are speaking. You have been given permission to speak. Yeah. Why do you know, what would you be your pitch to someone about why they should consider this job?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we love people with all kinds of different backgrounds, so it doesn't really matter what you've studied, as long as you are open to learning, you are creative, you like a good problem to solve, and you can work as part of a team. And really, if you enjoy being at the pointy end of what you're doing and actually seeing the results come out in real life, it's definitely a job for you.
A few listeners are a bit nervous about you speaking. They're a bit worried about you. They're worried about you revealing you're a woman. They're also wondering how a female Muslim could convince a male Muslim, but that the point is they didn't know you were female. That's the point, right?
That's absolutely the point. They don't know who I am that's on the other end of that keyboard.
All right. Claire, thank you very much for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Fran.
Claire goes, incredible job title, Covert Online Operator for the Australian Signals Directorate. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 8:17.